Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to Your Questions Answered. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Gareth Morgan from What Culture, to answer all of your burning wrestling questions. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, more roundtable discussions like this one, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, I'm Adam Wilborn, joined by Gareth Morgan to take on the Q&A community and answer all of your questions that you send us on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. I'm at Adam Wilborn. Gareth is at GMorgan04 if you want to continue the conversation after this podcast. But let's dive straight into it, Gareth, and get this question from regular contributor Hugo. I really like this. What wrestling trope would you banish forever, and why is it the weak AF security guards doing absolutely nothing to stop chaos? There are many bad wrestling tropes, but what's top of your list, and what do you reckon to what Hugo said there?
I mean, that was one that definitely springs to mind. Like, it's just frustrating. It's like, why go through the trouble of bringing all these people onto the payroll and just having them just stand around and get thrown all over the place because they can't do the jobs? But I think it's more of a WWE specific one, but still involved in wrestling, so it still definitely counts. But it was something that we saw on Raw this week, where somebody that's been signed to the company and has been very much on company television for a certain amount of time, just not necessarily on one of the big, like, quote unquote, main roster shows, then popping up on one of those main roster shows and being treated like a surprise mystery person they've never seen in their life, like Piper Niven. It was just like, oh, who is this? Who is this person? I think somebody put it on Twitter or Instagram or something, where on WWE's like YouTube or like on their suggested videos or something, you had a video of Piper Niven against Rhea Ripley in NXT UK. And then just above it, I think they must have typed Piper Niven WWE into YouTube. And then above that, it was just like, mystery partner helps Eva Marie. It's just like, oh, you're trying to get us to watch all these, let's say, smaller shows, these shows that need a bit more of an audience. And you literally just turn around and go, no, I don't need to watch them. Mystery person, who's this? We're going to rebrand them, change everything up. It's just, I don't know if that qualifies as a trope, but it's just a thing that consistently happens in WWE. And it's, I don't know if it's a way of trying to make people feel special and fresh, but it's just like, you either feel insulted if you know who the person is and you've actually spent your time to watch NXT UK or another brand, or you've never seen them before and this is either introduced, and that in itself is just terrible because you're just like, oh, it's just a mystery body that they've not even like in advance let people know they were going to be there. It's just, it's odd, very odd.
Yeah, it's the inconsistency with it all as well. Like when the Shield debuted, for example, they didn't go, who the bloody hell are these guys? They went, oh my God, it's Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns from NXT. It's those guys. And yet inexplicably with like Piper Niven, or for example, like when they went, this is my new associate, this is Commander Aziz. And everyone went, that's Dabba Kato, that's who that is. Now I get it, that's just another random name they assigned to him. But you could say that he's been, you know, had brainwashed by Apollo Crews into this role. But you have to acknowledge he was on Raw. We all watched him on Raw Underground. So especially someone like Piper Niven, who's had such a track record. And, you know, half the time they will present someone of like, you need to know who this guy is. This is the person and this is what they've done. And all it takes is what, a 2 minute, like you say, like, oh, in case you don't know who this person is, she was dominant in NXT UK. She's obviously, you know, somehow formed an association with Eva Marie, but you know, yes, it was demonstrating against Naomi, and Naomi shouldn't have been the sacrificial lamb there, by the way, but still, it was demonstrating. But yeah, and what Hugo said about the security guards, like, you and I have been on many nights out in rough areas of the UK, and I can think of a lot more threatening bouncers than half the security guys, who are clearly just people from the performance center who they've told to wear a black t-shirt or whatever it may be and take a few bumps. For me,
sorry, really quickly, that ruined me for bouncers on nights out for quite some time, because every time I got shoved, I kept throwing shoot punches and they didn't go down. So it didn't end very well for me. I was like, well, no, I know you're 6'3". You meant, have you not watched Raw? You should go down now. Didn't work.
Like when Shane McMahon ran through the security when they were doing all that bollocks with Legacy days.
Keith Lee, that one.
I don't want to, like, I don't want to mention it, because if I don't mention it, then it's an obvious one we've missed off. Obviously, the surprise roll up. That's Simon Miller's bread and butter. But especially when they do a surprise roll up and they don't, like, really. There was a victory roll clip of I think it was Kerry Von Erich, one of the Von Erichs, basically on Squared Circle just today. I saw. Does a victory on proper, just tightens in to make it seem like, oh, bollocks, I wasn't ready for this. Oh, and I can't get my weight in the right position and I can't kick out or whatever. But it's when it's just so, like, that cadaisical and just like, yeah, I'll just lean my arm, and you, just because someone else's music's played, suddenly you forget how to be a professional wrestler.
Yeah, there was a really good one on NXT this week with Tyler Breeze. Like, he literally just lynched, like, he got it cinched in. You were like, oh, I would accept that, because that he just locked in that tightly. And some, I think it was Fabian Aichner, just couldn't get out. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. That is legit.
Exactly. And then they just went, oh, see what Anthony Ogogo did with the flag. Let's just do that with an Imperium flag for some reason. But I also want to mention, because you and I are avid fans of UFC, of mixed martial arts, and it's not the no selling of submissions, or the, you know, I can have that disconnect in my head of, well, if someone had an armbar on someone that long in the UFC, someone's arm's getting broken. I can disconnect those two things, because that, and then the scrape and the claw for the ropes and what have you. It's less that. It's the fact of when you do have a submission, sometimes people just sort of like go, oh, that hurts a bit. And you're like, well, it's a submission. It's meant to, you know, you're meant to be trying anything you can, you know. Perfect example is like if Brock Lesnar can sell it when he gets put in the calf crusher and he's like, I've got to smash AJ Styles' face against the mat just to get me out of this. Otherwise, I can feel all the ligaments breaking away. It's that selling, but it's also the fact of if they haven't accommodated for that's going to factor into the finish. I remember Hanfler getting furious at a takeover, a couple of takeovers ago. It was Gargano Kushida, and Kushida worked over his arm, an arm bar, and, you know, all that hoverboard lock, you know, for a minute or whatever it was. And then he just hit his finisher that he uses his arm to get leverage over the top rope, the one final beat. Just did that. Part of it,
yeah.
So it's all better now, is it?
Yeah, and you see, like you said, like in legitimate kind of combat, if you do work on something, or you, like if you hit a calf kick, like that's become the, not to go off on too much of a tangent about MMA, but like in recent times, calf kicks have become a thing where you isolate that calf. Everyone who maybe is just a general fan of MMA probably watched the Conor McGregor Dustin Poirier fight, and in that fight, they kept kicking his calf. He got to a point where he couldn't stand on it, and that's, well, it was some legitimate selling at that point. He couldn't stand on it, so like, come down. When he did get hit and sparked on the jaw, he had no balance. He dropped to the floor. He got knocked out. Like, it doesn't take, you see that happen with like more moves. I don't know. I mean, you're just working over a leg, you're not doing submissions. You do tend to see that a little bit more, I guess, in wrestling. But it's something where this is something that I understand there's a fine line between doing the actual move and hurting someone, which I read something the other day, obviously, about when Arn Anderson spoke to John Cena about when he started doing the STF. Early on, he was actually hurting people, because if you see John Cena's biceps, like, that, you get caught in between them. Even if he's just messing around, it's like getting caught between two massive bricks. Like, even if you just play, and it's probably going to work. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it got to a point where they had to say to Cena, just like, rest up a little bit. And now he got loads of criticism for saying, oh, that SDF doesn't look like it really hurts somebody. There is a fine line. Like, I do get frustrated sometimes with somebody waxing a triangle or something. You can see the legs are just loose. And I'm like, well, yeah, okay, I don't need to hurt him, but just get a bit more snug with it. I don't know. It's one of the downsides of being a big fan of MMA when you watch wrestling. You're like, oh, I want to see, oh, I don't know. I don't want to see anyone get hurt, but I want a bit more realism in that, I guess.
Yeah, let us know on Twitter what are the worst wrestling tropes ever, because there's so many to choose from. Love to know your thoughts on this. You talk about NXT there. Sarah Louise Bugler, great to hear from you again, Sarah. Of course, recognising the fact that you are resident NXT expert. You do NXT ups and downs, not only for the website, but of course, for the YouTube channel every single Wednesday. I had to double check there for a second because my calendar's all over the place and time has no meaning right now.
You're not the only one.
Yeah, since taking over ups and downs for NXT, what would you give the ultimate yellow highlighter to? Cheeky second question, what one storyline would you change on the brand? Well, let's start with that first one. First of all, for those unaware, explain the yellow highlighter and your favorite thing since you've started covering it.
Well, it was something of a tribute to the person who formerly hosted at NXT, Mr. Adam Cleary. He had his yellow jacket of the week. It was his the highlight moment. Simon Miller's got his golden up. Cleary had his yellow jacket, and I couldn't find anything in my room that was yellow. So I opened a drawer and there was yellow highlighter in there. And I thought, oh, highlight of the week. Just one of those happy accidents. Like the other week, I couldn't find anything to put in the squash zone in terms of fruit. So I picked up a mini Oscar that I've got, which is currently here, which I know this is an audio podcast and that means nothing, but it's there. Yeah. So not to go on too much of a tangent, that's what the highlighters are. The biggest yellow highlight since I've had control of ups and downs. It's a tough one because I was a big fan of, I'm a big Karrion Kross guy, obviously. So I know that that's blasphemy in some circles. Like, obviously, not everyone's a big old fan. Speaking to you, Michael Sidgwick, not the biggest fan of old Karrion Kross. But I really enjoyed, I don't even know if they give it a yellow highlighter of the week, because I don't even think I was there that week when it was happening. It was one of the 1 weeks I was off. It was a couple of weeks ago now when Simon Miller, I think, jumped in for me to do that show. But I think it was the Cross Balor match, because I love the physicality of it. I thought Cross brings something different to NXT right now, where it's in terms of it's the legitimacy thing. He brings a brutality. Like, you'd say Pete Dunne has that as well. I think Pete Dunne definitely does have that, but I think he's got a bit more swagger about him, and he's a bit more of he's got a lot more cheekiness than what I think he lets on as a character, Pete Dunne. So I feel like he falls into a different circle. But with Cross, he feels like he combines that otherworldliness with your judo and your striking, your Muay Thai, and it's just a nice amalgamation of everything I like about wrestling with the MMA stuff, and obviously the when the otherworldly stuff's done well, not fiendish kind of stuff, but you know what I mean? In that kind of ballpark. So when he had that match, it was just like, it feels like a real, this is him laying down his marker, and then they just threw him into a nonsense five-way in your house thing afterwards.
Yeah.
But I think I'll give that my biggest highlighter of the week, because I didn't get a chance to, I think, as a cop out when I did my video. So that'd be my biggest one of the week. What was the other part of that question?
What storyline would you change on the brand?
Index.
No!
It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer for me, Mr. Logan. Not an index. This is a running thing. Everyone knows in the comment section, ups and downs, I get blasted for it every week. It's just not for me. It's just not for me, mate. Like, it's one of them. There'll be some people out there who tune in solely to see, is it going to happen? Will they, won't they? I need to see Indy Hartwell and the creepy Dexter Lumis get together. But it just, I don't feel any empathy towards either of them, because I feel like one of them's a heel that is doing very dastardly things every other week, and then gets heartbroken and gets really sad about it. And then the other one is being presented as, well, they're seemingly trying to present him as a babyface who kidnaps people and massages women against their own will. It's,
yeah,
I don't know why you should care. Do you know what I mean? It's tough. It's really tough to
get. This is the beauty of it. This is the thing of I always try and caveat whenever I talk about something like Alexa Bliss or Lily or whatever it may be. So there is clearly an audience there.
Don't judge anyone for liking it. If they like it, great.
Index is slightly less divisive. I think it's fair enough. There's some issues with it. There's some issues with, like, continuity of, like, she sees him listening to the power ballads and the tear stuff. That was great. But then she doesn't watch the show back to see that it was a platonic hug with Pop, regardless. But yeah, then the same with, like, Karrion Kross. I sit here and I go, I quite like it. And then the Dudley Boys aren't fans of it. And then I read your ups and downs or watch your ups and downs, whatever it may be. And see, there's a market for that. Mm. I think people will assume that if I'm going to pick my ultimate yellow highlighter thing for the last, let's say, 6 months, for example,
yeah,
that I'm going to say Cameron Grimes. And obviously, I love him. And maybe if he'd won the $1 million title, although there's a great story there now for me, maybe I'd pick that. And I, the vignettes and stuff that they had with that, whether it be him and Ted DiBiase or him and LA Knight trying to impress Ted DiBiase, whatever it may be, I loved all them. I'm going to do a really, really wide scribbling with this yellow highlighter, because I'm going to say literally everything Everrise has ever done on NXT, yeah. Because they're the ones that, again, I really like. Me and the Dadleys really like. I think you like as well.
Yeah, big fan. Big fan.
And I look at other review sites or websites or whatever it may be, and like, the Observer just goes, yeah, and Everrise does some bollocks, and then they move on to the next thing. And I'm like, no, you're missing the real genius of this, of like, they're doing the pre-show. And I think it was, what, 2 weeks ago, maybe? I just love them, that from the moment they realized, Kevin Owens was like, no, you guys won because of a DQ or whatever. They're like, yeah, we're the best, in your face sort of thing, up until going, hey, what you got a problem, Raquel Gonzalez? What, are you going to take a swing? And then she just lays one of them out. And then they're having this feud now with Hit Row. Hit Row's one that we don't like, really, me and the Dadleys. Mm. There's something there, but it's like, it's what someone else thinks is cool. But then other people I see going, I really like Swerve. And Swerve's obviously incredibly talented. But Hit Row, this is the beauty of wrestling and the divisive nature of it all, I suppose.
Yeah, I definitely agree with, in terms of like Hit Row specifically, it's like there's elements there that are going to work. They're going to click at some point. They're not fully clicking yet. I don't think they've been given anything to really get the teeth like sunk into yet. No. Like it's just, it's not been given that space to breathe. They've just had the odd little promo, the odd little squash match. And it's a bit like, we're going to take everyone out, but we're pretty much just going for jobbers right now. And they're just setting the stage. I think once we get into something, the Everrise thing, they're probably going to squash Everrise or like run through Everrise, but that's fine. Because that's the role Everrise can play and not get damaged by. And that's the thing. If you find that niche in WWE where you can literally just get battered every week and still get over, you've won, you've done it. Like you don't need to win to get over. It's like one of those weird things where, and I think that's where they'll absolutely come into their own when they do get called up. Because that'll be one of those things where Vince McMahon will look at that and go, oh, buddy, 50-50, we don't even need that. Let's just throw them in. Like, because I love lovable losers. And that's what, yeah. I mean. Like, it could be one of those things where later down the road, they do get a nice Heath Slater Rhino run where it's just like, out of nowhere, they suddenly go for the titles and win the titles. It's a nice feel-good moment. With Hit Row, I think Hit Row are going to be probably going after the belts, I think, it's going to be very much depending on how this whole Santos Escobar, Bronson Reed stuff goes about, because I think Santos is in a position where I'm going on a massive like tangent here with NXT stuff, but it's fine. But I think it's all dependent on if Santos wins, because I think he's in a bit of a weird spot right now where he's lost a couple of big title matches, and he could say he's on a downward slide in terms of form, but he's definitely high up in the company's thoughts right now in NXT. And Legado may be on the verge of a call up. You never know. If that happens and Bronson Reed retains, then I can see an easy transition there into a nice feud with Hit Row and just have that going forward. Like, obviously, just having him, the one-man army, taking on this entire team and having to overcome that. It's a great babyface story. I'd like that. But I think they're trying to mold Hit Row to be that big stable now going forward. I think a few people are probably going to get called up. I think it's when we get near that draft season, which is probably going to be after SummerSlam now, I think we're going to see a big shift. I don't think the Samoa Joe stuff was I think it was just merely the beginning of the shift, that's the word, the shift that we're going to see in NXT over the next couple of months.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, let's continue with the questions that we got sent on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE, at Adam Wilborn, at GMorgan04. As I said, if you want to ask us more questions, CHF Omega, talking of call-ups, says, will Ricochet ever come on top in the main shows, or do you see him leaving as soon as possible? Ricochet is heartbreaking to watch every week for me on Monday Night Raw, as much as I have to sit through that god-awful show every Tuesday morning. But will he ever get a push again in WWE? Because he's, you know, someone who worked with him in WCPW and Defiant and witnessed, you know, the heights, pun intended, that he could hit in NXT. And yet he's in the land of the giants now, and they've got him nicking Sheamus's hat and coat or some bollocks.
It's, he's in the main event, technically. You know what I mean? He's on main event every Thursday. Thursday? Wednesday? I don't know.
Yeah, I gun to my head, I couldn't tell you when it's on.
Yeah, he's on that. He's getting plenty of screen time with somebody, but it's... Oh, it's again, and not to bring it back to NXT, when you saw him there on NXT, you were like, oh, I can, like, it was hard when he came into the company initially. You do get a little bit worried. Just WWE as a banner, as something just to blanket over everything. You think, is he going to be able to be Ricochet? The Ricochet that we saw on WCBW, New Japan, all these places where you just thought, this guy literally has no limits. The sky isn't the limit. Space is. He's just insane. He can do whatever he wants. Are they going to let him be that guy? And in NXT, you saw that maybe... He didn't go as crazy as what he did. Like, if you're working as long as he is and, like, as consistently as you are in NXT, you're still doing a schedule, a touring schedule. You probably can't be blasting out 10 million somersaults a night kind of thing. Like, you're going to probably break your body down eventually. But he was still in a position where he was pulling off the odd thing. He was picking his moments. That's probably the best way of putting it. Picking his moments and still just hitting him at a point where you were like, wow, he was the thing on your mind when you left the takeover, when you left the NXT show. You're like, wow, I see Ricochet jump over that top rope and just land on his feet. You see Ricochet do that double backflip. Oh my God. Whereas in WWE, it's like, did you see Ricochet steal someone's hat? And it's making him, I get he needs to craft these promos maybe a little bit more and just hone just altogether those promo skills. I get that. It's a big part of WWE. You see people like AJ Styles, where people had that asterisk against his name for so long. He worked on it. And he's got to the point where he's probably one of the strongest people on the mic that WWE currently have. Let's be honest, in terms of making WWE style scripting sound natural to a certain extent. It still feels like AJ's version of the promo. I think if he gets to a point where he can do that and they trust him to do that, he might be all right, but right now you can just tell they don't. Like, if he's trying to whack on Irish accents and things like that, you can tell it's just WWE in the back going, try this, see if this sticks. And it's just not. I mean, it's frustrating. I don't watch him as often probably as you do or as thoroughly as you do, because obviously you're watching the Raw show. So I'm not sure, like, how do you feel in terms of it? Is the hope for Ricochet?
There is one Hail Mary for me with him if he doesn't go back to NXT. That's going to SmackDown, because that seems like the show where good things can happen. We did a thing about the draft just the other day, me and Hamfler. Like 90% of our picks was like, well, get this guy off Raw and get on SmackDown, because Raw's dreadful. I think the few people we moved were like maybe Bayley, because she could do great things on Monday night and they need someone good like that. I was just screaming for Sami Zayn to get moved onto that Raw brand and give it, like, if you're like, oh, we've got 10 minutes to kill here, Sami Zayn, like, if you want to have him do a thing where the loser has to leave SmackDown, whatever, fine, if that's the necessary. But the draft would be great. And have him feed into that conspiracy. But anyway, coming back to Ricochet, yeah, move him to SmackDown. Maybe he's got a shot. But yeah, it's the old cookie cutter thing, isn't it? Of, oh, we can't just have a guy who's incredibly talented who we don't have to have talk that much. It's like, you have to tick all of these boxes. Otherwise, you are pissing about with the United States Championship, which, and I love Sheamus. And I thought when him beating Riddle for that was really good, but it's gone so off the rails now with, like, yeah, like you say, accent. Look at me saying that, but accents and like stealing outfits and stuff. And then like that, what was it? It was last week, wasn't it? Where they were like, oh, one-on-one. And you're thinking, okay, so whoever wins this presumably goes into a match with Sheamus, maybe at Hell in a Cell or something, or Sheamus interferes and they do the old, right, well, none of them won, but none of them lost. And Triple Threat.
And then they just did a, what was it, Spanish fly off the apron, and neither of them can answer a count of 10. I was like, they look like a bunch of chumps now. I don't know. I think he almost has to leave and come back again. If he doesn't move to SmackDown or NXT, like, Ospreay's been completely vindicated for the most part, because like that thing where he was up against Brock and he's like, maybe, you know, anyone can, and he just like, nah, that's a perfect personification of how they felt about it all. So
I'll never forget, that was our last stream in the old office, that of us and the other, those graphics up of Ricochet against McIntyre. We were like, oh, could it can we dream? Oh,
nope.
Nope, certainly not. But so, it's just, yeah, I agree with you. I think he'll need to either do a Finn Balor, go back to NXT, regain a bit of credibility and come back. I think the minute, because Balor's going to head up in that main roster now. He's got to come back at some point. I think he's done out everything he can do in NXT again. I think when he does return, that is a last shot. You either present him as Balor, the kind of tweener Balor that you saw on NXT this time round, or we go back to square one and Balor probably goes, nah, I'm all right with this. I'm going to head off. And I don't know. It seems like the route Ricochet has to go down as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. Let's talk about AEW. Great question here from Mr. Tom, who says, which belt changes hands next in AEW, and which is the first belt Kenny drops? Really intriguing, this, because obviously you've got Kenny Omega world champion, Miro, recently crowned TNT champion, even more recently Britt Baker crowned AEW women's world champion, and the Bucks, of course, tag team champions, and technically Brian Cage, FTW champion, but... So, those four, I think, are you kind of in agreement with me and the Dadleys when we talked about this a while back, saying, I don't think any of these belts are going to change hands for quite some time?
Especially in terms of, if you're looking at the Elite, I've got a funny feeling, because I think it is one of those, you can't hold this up to the standards that you have maybe of Western wrestling that WWE have laid down over the last couple of years and decades. It's not one of those things where, oh yeah, well, obviously the Young Bucks are going to lose it the next pay-per-view. They've held them for so long now, it's got to happen. It doesn't have to happen. Yeah. They can just keep having these incredible matches and the legacy grows. So when somebody does finally take it away, oh my God, it's amazing. It's this big thing. But saying that, I do feel like it would be, if I'm going to have to pick one of them, I feel like the Miro thing, they're going to have him be a wrecking ball for a bit now. I think you sort of have to, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I think the people are clamoring for it. I'm not done with this. I could, because he can face it. He can destroy monsters, or he can destroy little people. He can do whatever he wants. He's just got a lot of, he's very watchable in this current character, and I'm happy for him. But with the Bucks, I feel like it'd be nice to see that happen, because I think that would be the first. You may say it's too early. Sidgwick could probably say it's too early, but it just saw those first seeds of doubt of the Elite maybe crumbling again, and maybe looking at Kenny going, oh, did you not? Like, we've helped you a couple of times here. We world championship defenses, specifically at the last one at Impact. We lose our belts, you know, to be seen. Like, if that does go down that route, it might be too early. In AEW, everything feels too early. It's like, you probably could have done this for another 6 months, but if I've got my like a gun to my head, I'd say that one. I don't think Britt Baker's going to lose a belt anytime soon. Kenny's not. I don't. What do you reckon for Kenny's first belt he's going to drop?
Triple A, maybe, to Andrade, and that's. But it's like, I completely agree with whoever said a while back. It can't be the last belt he holds. He has to lose that, and then that sort of, then he just goes on a downward spiral. Like, he loses the Triple A, then he has to lose the AEW World Title. We're talking today, me and Sidge, about this AEW Dynamite Grand Slam. And I think it's a hell of a piece of a booking to answer. I think the Mind Runner asking the question about that show and who's going to get the biggest pop. It's going to be Eddie Kingston, and it's going to be when he wins the TNT Championship at that show, which is when the TNT title is going to change hands. So that's like, what, September 22nd, Michael Cidric's birthday. So that's
Could I say there's another person who may be the only person on the roster that could rival Eddie Kingston's pop on that night? Negative one, popping up in New York.
Yeah. That's a really good shout. I didn't even think about that because obviously his late father. Yeah, that's a really, really good shout. I don't see him winning the TNT title though. So
we'll see. You never know.
Britt Baker's on that Women's World Championship longer than any of the rest of these. I think, and me and Sidra talked about this for a while, I think both of those titles, the World Title and the World Tag Team titles, are going at All Out. It feels like the right time. It's the next big. I know they've got Fight Affairs to Fight for the Fallen and I think Road Rager or whatever it's called to come in July. But this is their next big pay-per-view. It's All Out. It's got the tagline. I don't know why I keep coming back to this because taglines don't mean anything. Where champions are made.
Oh,
the history that Hangman Page has at that pay-per-view is, you know, incredible. A wonderful story arc there to complete it all. You can have in the interim, Kenny Omega defends the AEW world title, obviously against Jungle Boy, maybe against Christian Cage, maybe even against Andrade, and then you do the AAA thing, whatever. This is where the Elite all comes crumbling down for the Elite for me. Santana and Ortiz take the tag titles, and you have Hangman Page become the world champion, and it's a wonderful... I mean, it's also almost the end of days at that point, but yeah, really, really like that and really think that could be feasible, but it's going to be a while. Right, should we do a little speed round here, actually, as we bring this
yes.
to okay. Dopamine Explosion, who Scouse says, hi, guys. More love for the show. I'm not going to do it. Guys, more love for the show that will distract me from the pain when I get vaxxed today. Oh, that's good to say in a Scouse accent.
Ooh.
Best luck with all that. Your arm's going to be buggered for a few days, but you'll be fine aside from that. Everyone's going to get vaccinated, of course. Quickly, I want to know if, aside from Braun and Joe, what other release stars do you think return to WWE in the next 3 months? And that's the point when he says, by the way, I'm Scouse if you want to get in character. But yeah, what do you reckon next for who's going to return? Who would you like? Who's even feasible to come back who they've released in the last, I don't know, 18 months?
Buddy Murphy to 205 Live, baby.
Yes. Coming. I mean, he's got a lot of offers. Aleister Black was so bonkers that the fact people were going to come back immediately. Braun's a hell of a shout, but you mentioned him there. So, I want it to be the Iconics. I always want it to be the Iconics. Mm. Buddy Murphy's a great shout, actually. Maybe Ruby Riott. They are thin on the ground for women's talented female wrestlers.
Still can't understand that. Me and Phil both said that on SmackDown. It was just like, why? You've got no one outside of like your top three women. It's just like, oh, just, yeah, pointless release for me, that one.
Painted Pavarti, I'm not just doing this so I can do accents, but Painted Pavarti says, g'day from the land down under. This is a more wrestling podcast question. When do we get to experience Phil and Gareth painfully reviewing Raw and Adam and the Dudleys giving us a, yeah, this is quite all right for a SmackDown review, perhaps swap for a couple of weeks? You wouldn't swap that for the world, would you?
No, you can't pay me enough. Cannot pay me enough for that. That's, yeah. No, thank you. I mean, it'd be fun for an experiment, maybe 1 week, just to see how long our psyches hold up. But yeah, I'm quite happy with
Monday Night Raw, like meth, not even once.
Not even once. Just don't, because that's it. That's how they get you. One and done. That's no thank you.
Josh asks, I seem to get this question all the time, but I love asking every single one of our guests this. He says, with Raw's ratings dropping and AEW getting more press with their new Forbes article, how long do you think it will be before AEW beat Raw in the ratings, if ever? I mean, right now it is a chasm. Granted, it is because Dynamite's on late on a Friday, blah, 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 but they are doing horrible numbers there. And Raw, inexplicably, is holding pretty firm, like 1.7. I think they did. I don't know about the demos. I'm just disregarding all that.
Yeah.
That has to be the next target for them, though, hasn't it, for AEW Dynamite and what have you?
It's mad. It's mad that that does have to be the target right now. That's just a testament to how much they've grown as a company, like, so early on. But it's a weird one, because I think as soon as Raw gets a bit of star power back, like if Becky returns, if Brock comes back, if all these little superstars, Devon's a WWE superstar, but you know what I mean, bona fide superstars, and if they get some real... I don't know. They start really giving a crap when people come back. In fact, I think fans being in, you underestimate how much just having fans in an arena makes a wrestling show watchable. Dynamite over the last couple of weeks. Yeah, it's on a Friday and it's coming up at like whatever time it's on. But just seeing people in the audience, it's like, ah, oh. NXT this week, just seeing people, hearing people, it's like, oh, just feels, I'm enjoying this more now. I feel like, obviously we have to do because it's our job, but as a general fan, you're like, oh, I want to come and watch this again. Thinking that happens to WWE, that'll have a massive impact on those Raw ratings. So that in turn, will probably push it back a little bit, maybe a couple of years, maybe 2 years, two, three years until we get it's all dependent on what happens with AEW. They bring in a megastar. They bring in Brock Lesnar or CM Punk. Everything could change.
Yeah, I hope they do, not just because I'm a paid AEW shill, as I'm often accused of being, simultaneously whilst also being a WWE paid shill for some reason. It's because I want that pressure on Raw, because I know that they panic and just hotshot bollocks half the time when that happens, but they have to realise something needs to happen to be the catalyst for them to go, right. And I know there was the thing the other day from Andrew Zarian saying, like, they are going to make wholesale changes. This product, I promise, will improve in 6 months' time. I just need something. So I don't see it happening anytime soon. But they were, like you say, prior to the pandemic, they were trending in that direction. Final few questions. Greg Lim says, do you see Bobby Lashley versus Roman Reigns down the road for Survivor Series?
I'd enjoy that more than what I did when it happened a couple of years ago, and it was just a bit kind of thrown together, like, oh yeah, I remember Bobby Lashley, he's actually pretty good. Let's just throw him in there with Roman. That's the kind of attitude they went in with it. Whereas now they've both been built as big world champions. I'd quite like to see Paul Heyman and MVP going at it as well. Do you know what I mean? It's just got a few little elements. It would have been even better if they had the Hurt Business behind him, and you had the Usos on the other side. He could have had an all-out just war. Would have been great. But yeah, I guess I'm happy to see that. I think things will look very different by the time we get to Survivor Series, though. I've got a funny feeling.
I'll just repeat my fantasy booking. Roman Reigns versus John Cena at SummerSlam. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, champion versus champion at Survivor Series. As much as I don't want to just see Brock giving this out for no reason. Maybe it's a different kind of Brock. Maybe it's an actual babyface Brock. Roman Reigns versus Edge at the Royal Rumble. Roman Reigns versus The Rock, WrestleMania 38. And he beats them all. And then in the meantime, find anyone you can build. Big E, Keith Lee, Cameron Bloody Grimes. I don't care. Build a suitable babyface to finally take the title off him at SummerSlam, the site of it all beginning, what would be 2 years ago at that point. Right, final question today, Gareth. Comes from John Richards. Was Samoa Joe genuinely released, or was it a work like Drake Maverick? A lot of this coming in following Samoa Joe's reappearance on NXT this week.
I think the fact that WWE haven't played it up, that he's been re-signed, like, do you know what I mean? On NXT, it wasn't a thing like, oh, we've re-signed Joe. Joe's come back in to be the event. It wasn't presented that way. Whereas with Maverick, it was, he'd earned a contract. Do you know what I mean? Like, they made a big thing of Triple H coming out going, oh, you're back, man. There's your contract. It felt closer to being a work there. But with Joe, it does just feel like, oh, no, we could still do something with it. Should we get him back? It feels a bit more in that kind of ballpark. I'm not willing to give them the credit of it being a work at all. I think that the way it happened, the fact that everyone else, I know, obviously with Maverick, a lot of people left with him originally, but just, I don't know, the fact that he was the top name as well that got released at that moment, it was, yeah, I don't think it was.
No, I'm the first person to accuse bloody everything of being a work. And the negative press they received, obviously they would have received negative press if they'd have kept Joe and fired all the other people anyway. But in particular, the negative press of, like, this guy tried his damnedest to keep that show on the road when WrestleMania just was all over the shop at the start of that, you know, weather affected first night. And yeah, if that was the plan all along, why wouldn't you just write him off Raw, or make a big thing of, like, you know what, maybe I do want to get back involved? And, you know, I know they sort of blatantly teased it was going to be Joe. We all kind of knew it was going to be Joe by the time it rolled around to it. Yeah, and the fact that we seemingly report every day, even though, you know, some things happen, some things don't, but we seemingly report every sodding day that they're like, yeah, I know we sacked Braun Strowman and Aleister Black and you know, the Zelina Vega thing and stuff, but maybe we'll bring them back. I was like, yeah, they don't. Their left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing half the time. They literally had Aleister Black seemingly ready and waiting to go with a Big E storyline, and they went, yeah, get rid of him. So, no, as you said, I think they summed it up perfectly there. Don't give them that credit for being that smart. They just fire people and then go, oh, actually, I needed one of them. Bring it back. Or they're doing the even worse tactic of, yeah, but if I sack you, then I'm in the power position to dictate wages. And it's all about the money, and it's cost-cutting. What a load of bollocks. But, yeah.
They must have offered him something interesting enough in terms of a pay packet and creatively for him to come back, because that boy, he was not short of options. Let's just say that.
That's a very, very valid point. But let us know your thoughts on whether Samoa Joe's release was a work by WWE and your thoughts on all the other questions we've answered today at What Culture WWE, where you can also continue today's conversation. You can find both of us on Twitter as well. You can find Gareth Morgan at
gmorgan04. You can find Adam Wilborn at
Adam Wilborn. Find us all, as I said, at What Culture WWE. Love doing these. We'll do a load more. So if you want to get them, you want to enjoy these podcasts, What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. But this has been Your Questions Answered. Once again, my thanks to Gareth Morgan. Thank you for all of your questions on Twitter. Apologies if we didn't get around to yours. Trust me, I'll try to next time. But thanks for listening. Thanks to Gareth. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.